Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. It's a great pleasure to welcome the author and professor, Lila Philip. Her book, Beaverland, How One Weird Rodent Made America, is now in paperback. Lila and I first spoke when her hardback, her clothback, came out. And now that we have had some time to reflect, each of us, Lila's been very busy because the beaver world awaits any conversation anywhere and found Lila right away. She's been traveling. I've been studying beavers whenever they come by. It turns out once you have the beaver contagion, you can't get rid of it. Beavers appear. There's a story in Massachusetts now where the governor of the state has stepped in to pardon a beaver who was about to be returned to the wild. A diva beaver called Nibby. Nibby, who's going to stay where she's been. There are photographs accompanying this, and it's in the Telegraph. So to tell you that this beaver fascination has spread across the Atlantic, across Europe. Lila, it's wonderful to greet you. First, your travels for the beaver have been spontaneous and endless. How do people regard beavers? Are they regarded as cute animals, or do they know these are hydro engineers? Good evening to you.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be on your show again. Well, both, I would say. You know, I think beavers are interesting to people on all sorts of levels. And the controversy over Nibby was certainly fascinating to watch. And that it got picked up as far away as Canada and London was really wonderful to see. But I just got back from Colorado, where the annual BeaverCon, International Conference of the Beaver, was held. And there were people from Europe, Germany, Wales, Scotland, the UK, and all over the country, river restoration practitioners, wildlife managers, beaver aficionados, people who wanted to learn about beavers. So those people are really keyed in to the way beavers contribute to the water web. So serious efforts are being made, particularly in the West, to harness what beavers do for all the problems we have with climate change. So in many ways, the theme of the conference was water, I would say.
BeaverCon schedule, it was amazing to me to learn there was such a thing at first. It was 6 days, a packed schedule. You couldn't be in every conversation. Are the fish doomed? People, beavers, and fish was one presentation. Or sedimentation and carbon accretion in beaver ponds and implications for restoration. From nuisance to nature-based solution, the role of beaver restoration in combating climate change, drought, and wildfires in California. This is a fascination, Lila. What the beaver represents now is a solution, also a revelation, that before we were here, there were the Native Americans who understood the usefulness and also, what you'd have to say, the troublesomeness of the great beaver. Tell that story of how the great beaver has an attitude when people ask him to move. Thank you.
Well, you've said so much right there, because I think indigenous peoples who've always lived here understood the ecological importance of the beaver to the water web, basically. And that's why Western science has called them a keystone species. I think in indigenous ecological knowledge, we might talk about beavers as a keystone relative, which implies more of a relation. But I start Beaverland with the Algonquin story, which is a story of here in the East, all up and down the eastern seaboard, of how the great beaver formed the Connecticut River Valley. So this mischievous beaver takes too much water, and the poor humans are running up and down the bank saying, please, please stop, but the beaver just won't. And the creator has to discipline the beaver and chases him all up and down the eastern seaboard, which forms a lot of the topography of not just the Atlantic seaboard, but into the Great Lakes. And, you know, there are many Algonquian stories of the dangers of hoarding resources. So it's kind of a teaching tale. It's a really wonderful, subversive, I think, very funny story, because woodland peoples had enough beaver and had enough water most of the time. So they would hunt beaver some of the time.
The beaver is a self-starter. Busy as a beaver is accurate. The beaver is a water manager. You've got to understand that we have this association of the beaver with cutting down trees with his teeth. Well, that's part of water management. That's acquiring the resources you need to build the beaver dams. What I learned from Lila's book and from conversation with Lila, the professor, is that the river system that we enjoy is always being altered by the beaver. And it's not just the river, it's the wetland next to it, and it's the potential wetland right over the horizon. The beaver has ideas, and those ideas translate into a manageable system where there's plenty of fish, plenty of plant life, and it recurs every season as... You'd almost, Lila, have to say that a beaver is a health manager of our waterways. Is that too much of an exaggeration, or is that how it works?
No, I think you've said it pretty well. And in fact, I think the more scientists are learning about the impact of beaver damming complexes on the river system, the more they're starting to talk about beavers as actually part of the ecology of a healthy river system. Actually part of the river system. So when beavers come to a, say, a creek or a stream and make the dam and make that visible pond, we really have to think that that's just the beginning, that visible basin, because in many ways, what's even more important than the water we can see is all the water we can't see, which is that wetland that's created under the ground, because that huge sponge of water that they create under the ground, which is the wetland, holds at least three times as much water. And that sponge is there to rehydrate the stream system if a drought comes, and it's there to soak up water if a scalding rain event comes, which is why people talk about getting beavers into the river system to create what's called resiliency. And out west, they want beavers in the watershed for wildfire mitigation, because, you know, a wet river system, all these wetlands then are like speed bumps for a wildfire, because wet wood doesn't burn. And after a fire, those wet patches bring a lot of regeneration after a fire. And out west, where there's concern with heat and drought, all those sponges under the ground are vast reserves of water that mean the difference between life and death for the plant community. So even ranchers now, I visited a ranch out in Idaho when I was out, and this is a rancher who has been working to get beavers into the stream system. And he says he has grass for his cattle a full month later than he ever used to because of the beavers. So it's become, I think, the light bulb's turned on, and there's a really practical element to having beavers in your watershed, which is quite wonderful. So all the environmental restoration community is very keyed into the value of beavers.
I'm not turning the beaver into a teddy bear. A beaver has another world to live in. I note the great beaver has attitude. When asked by the Native Americans, "Stop making the river, you're flooding us out," he said, "Why should I care about you?" He says that to the great creator as well. And I learned from Lila, there was one episode that keeps coming back in my mind, Lila, at Beaver Sprite, the lady who kept beavers for tea. Wonderful story.
Yeah.
All right. But a beaver is a practical animal who has rules. And one of them is always in a straight line. Tell the stories, Lila, always in a straight line across the floor.
Oh, yeah, that was really funny. So, one time someone came to visit Dorothy Richards, a plumber, actually, and he sat in a chair, and the beaver just started pushing the chair to get him out of the way. And the plumber was frightened, and he said to Dorothy Richards, "What's going on?" She said, "You're in the beaver's way." So he moved the chair a little to the side, and the beaver just kept trundling toward his destination. So I think you make a good point, though. We talk about what beavers can do for us, but really we need to remember they're wild animals. They're doing what they do in a natural system, and we can partner with them. We can coexist with them, and we'd be really smart to do that more than we already do. But they aren't teddy bears. And, you know, part of the danger in a way of the NIBBY story is people thinking they might have an adorable pet beaver, which isn't going to work out. And Dorothy Richards, you know, bless her, who lived with 14 beavers in her house in the Southern Adirondacks. I have a lot of fun telling that story. She was a woman of her time, and she was studying beavers in the 50s and 60s, you know, for education. And maybe she went a little too far, but we're lucky she had all her observations. And we really need to respect that beavers, you know, need to be in the wild, and we need habitat for them. This is a real problem for beavers. Too many roads, not enough habitat, and we don't do a good enough job yet, you know, letting them stay in their ponds. We tend to, when they flood a road, want to trap them out instead of trying to find a coexistence solution.
Part of the charm of your book is that you don't veer away from the trapping part, that this was a practical source of warmth and food and magic for early settlers in the New England area, but really for Europeans for thousands of years before. I believe Europe, for example, is an example of them being trapped out entirely and now being regulated. But I don't know all the rules. I read the story about the contraband beavers being smuggled into Devon in England and now being celebrated. Is that a story that's repeated in other parts of Europe, Lala?
Yeah, well, I think beavers are really, you know, there was a woman from the Netherlands at the conference, and beavers are back in the Netherlands. In fact, she was saying people love them in the Netherlands, even though they're actually starting to make holes in the dikes because their bank burrow is there. But she said people, and it's going to become a problem. They're going to have to deal with this because the dikes are going to have holes in them. But she said people in the Netherlands love their beavers so much, they just don't even want to worry about it. So I think, you know, we have a lot of wildlife in the United States. We're really lucky. But in Europe, there isn't a lot of wildlife left. So beavers are one of the wild animals that's been restored. So they get a lot of attention. And they come under a lot of spotlight. So people who maybe don't like them get all the heat, and people who love them really love them. It's fun to watch. But, you know, if I may kind of shift over to here, I think one of the things that's interesting, say, this was at the conference, California, for example, has emerged as an incredible leader in coexistence strategies for beavers because they really need them. And so the state has just announced this new beaver management plan. They're ambitious 30 by 30 plan is going to include beavers. And it's a really exciting model of what can happen when legislators and people decide they're going to make something happen. I talked to a lot of people there who were just tremendously excited about the possibilities.
Lala Philip is the author of Beaverland, How One Weird Rodent Made America. This is the river system we're talking about. When we come back, I have an example of American history in beavers that illustrate exactly their skill set, their industriousness. And Lila has been working on what they produce, which is rivers with good water.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.